You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 348. Today is our opponents podcast, where we're looking at who Notre Dame's opponents have played and who they will be playing, and maybe some interesting matchups over the weekend as well. And we didn't do one last week, so we don't know how we fared as far as predicting the outcome of the games, but we'll be giving our take on win or loss for our opponents. Randall is here as well. Any funny tweets, Randall, that you noticed?
Well, somebody did tweet us a score prediction for this week's game.
That is true.
So, I don't have it up right in front of me, but
it was 0-3, and it said Irish 0-3. So I think it was a win prediction. And this season, a bye week, it is a win.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. First, I did want to mention that we do have some articles over on the website, irishsportstalk.net. We've got our Notre Dame in the NFL week 6. Randall put together a list of Notre Dame's players, former Notre Dame players who are in the NFL, and how they did this past week. Definitely the highlight was Golden Tate. He had 150 or 60 yards receiving and one touchdown. And then we also have an article from Salon Stefanow, not sure I'm saying his name correctly, and he put together an article, Is DeShone Kizer NFL Ready? So go on over and check that out. Give that a read. And if you have thoughts about it, tweet back at us, and we'd love to hear what you guys think. Is DeShone Kizer NFL ready?
And we've had some discussion about that over on the forum. So
let's jump right in. Notre Dame's opponents. Let's start with the mighty Texans. This week, Texas will be visiting Kansas State, and they are a 2-point underdog in this game. Texas is 3-3 on the season. They did pick up a win last week versus Iowa State, a 27-6 win. And, of course, we all know that, along with Notre Dame's coaching staff, the Texas Longhorns staff, Charlie Strong in particular, is also a little bit on the hot seat. It's getting warm, and some people aren't sure if he's NFL or if he's going to be sticking around for another year or not. Any thoughts, Randall, on this game, and then let's make our predictions.
I don't know. Texas, yeah, very disappointing from what I thought they would be this year. I was hoping they'd be a lot better just because of how the game went at the beginning of the year. But I think they're still going to win a few games. Charlie Strong's in charge of the defense, and I think they're going to beat Kansas State.
Well, I'm going with you there as well. This Texas team is not good, but I still think they will come away with the win. That is a noon kickoff on ESPN2, so you can check that out if you want to. And then next we have Nevada. The Wolfpack did lose this past week to San Jose State, 14-10. This Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, they will be playing the Wyoming Cowboys. The Cowboys are 4-2 on the season, and Nevada is an underdog in this matchup, a 5-point underdog. And I don't think Nevada will come away with the win on this one. I'm picking Wyoming to win this game.
I think I'm going to go with Nevada on this one.
All right, and then Michigan State, after defeating Notre Dame, they have lost every week since then. It started with Wisconsin, then Indiana, close one at Indiana. Not a close one against BYU, and then they lost to Northwestern 54-40. They gave up 54 points to Northwestern, which is one reason I'm losing some confidence and faith in Notre Dame's offense, because if Michigan State is giving up 50 plus points to Northwestern, and that just seems way too easy. And yes, I am very surprised and disappointed at the state of Michigan State football. They're 2-4 on the season. They will be playing this Saturday at 7:30 against Maryland. Maryland is 4-2, and surprise, Michigan is favored in this game by 3 points. I'm picking Maryland. I think the Spartans continue their losing streak.
Yeah, it's if there's any team that's even more disappointing than Notre Dame, it could be Michigan State.
Which at least makes me feel a little bit better about our current state.
I'm not sure what their expectations were. I think the difference is that Notre Dame was expected to be really, really good this year. Michigan State, maybe not quite so much. But going from where they put how they did last year to this year, I mean, a win against Furman and then against Notre Dame, those are both pretty bad wins. But, man, it's just a toss. I'm going to go with Michigan State on this one.
Okay. Next up, the Duke Blue Devils. They did lose to Louisville last week, 24-14, and they will be playing, they have a bye week, and then they'll be playing Georgia Tech. So I don't think I have any thoughts on that. We'll just move on to Syracuse.
Are you going to make your pick on that?
Well, they have a bye week.
Oh,
next week they play Georgia Tech.
Gotcha.
Syracuse. They defeated Virginia Tech, which is amazing. 31-17. Very impressive win. They will be playing Boston College on Saturday. This is a 12:30 kickoff. And Boston College is 3-3 on the season, 0-3 in the ACC. And I think that Syracuse picks up another win. They're not favored in this game. They're a 5-point underdog, and the game will be played at Boston College. So they don't have the home field advantage going for them. But Boston College has just looked pretty awful this whole year. And I think Syracuse picks up another win.
I'm going to go with Boston College on this, but just because Notre Dame's defense was able to stop Syracuse. And even though Boston College isn't doing good, they should still be. I think they can get enough defense around to stop Syracuse.
All right. And then North Carolina State, after defeating Notre Dame in the Hurricane, they came so close to defeating the number three team in the country, Clemson. They fell short in overtime, 24-17. But this is just a testament to how good North Carolina State is. This is a very solid team and may end up being the best team on Notre Dame's schedule this year. Obviously, Notre Dame's still got some quality opponents coming up, but this North Carolina State team is pretty good. They will be playing Louisville on Saturday. This is a noon kickoff, so fun game to watch as far as at least if you like watching Notre Dame's opponents, which is tough to do on a season like this, but they will be playing Louisville. They're a 20-point underdog in this game.
Wow.
Which I would not have expected it to be this much of a point or that much of a difference. And I don't know, a few weeks ago, Louisville did pick up their first loss versus Clemson. They did come back against Duke and had a okay game, 24-14 win. So maybe they're expecting Louisville to really come and bounce back. It is at Louisville, so they will have that going for them. Even though I think North Carolina State is solid, I'm not picking them in this game. I think Louisville will win the game, but not by 20 points.
Yeah, I agree. North Carolina State is definitely looking better than what we thought. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I remember we mentioned they were fringe 25 or top 25 team, and a lot of people didn't really think that they were, but just because of the opponents they had played. But how they played against Clemson, they should have won that game. I think they missed the field goal or bounced off the goalpost, and they were that close to beating Clemson. And it was a week after playing that terrible game against Notre Dame. And so, they bounced back, had a great game. I guess you shouldn't say bounce back. They did win the game, but just that game was so weird. And I think it put everybody in a funk. I mean, just, yeah. But great game against Clemson. And, yeah, they won't lose by 20 to Louisville, but they will lose.
Just
so put your money on
little tidbit of information here. Louisville is averaging nearly 630 yards of offense per game.
That is insane.
627 yards. That is incredible. All right, next up, Stanford. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know what North Carolina State's total yardage now, but they were at 500 before the Notre Dame game. Obviously, the Notre Dame game took it way down. I'm not sure what they did against Clemson, but they were right at 500, so there could be a lot of yards in this game, total yardage for both teams.
They're at 435 yards.
So it dropped by about 70 yards in the last two games, but yeah, still very good offense.
Next up, Stanford. After defeating Notre Dame, they'll be playing Colorado, 3 p.m., and they are favored in this game, but only by 2 points. Colorado is 5-2. Stanford has been struggling this year, and this is kind of a tough pick. Colorado is definitely a better team than they were a few years ago, but Stanford just averaging 305 yards of offense per game, even though they have been solid on defense except for a few weeks. I just don't think they'll be able to beat Colorado by only moving the ball 300 yards. So I'm picking Colorado in this game.
Shucks, I figured you'd pick Stanford, and I was going to go with Colorado. The reason I'm going to go with Colorado is just because I think Stanford's going to have another one. It's going to be one of those weeks where you're like, what just happened? We lost to that team. Who knows if how Christian McCaffrey, I guess it depends a lot on that, but I'm trying to decide if I should change
picks. I'll make it really easy for you.
Okay.
The two losses that Colorado has.
Michigan and USC.
Yeah.
And they scored 28 on Michigan, which is very good. So I'm going to go with Colorado.
All right. Miami, our next opponent. They're playing Virginia Tech, at Virginia Tech. And I've been saying all year, Miami is not a good team. Don't buy it. And here is the proof. Virginia Tech is favored by 6 points. And I know it's a home game for Virginia Tech, but a home game advantage is not worth 6 points. It's worth maybe 3 points.
Oh, it should be.
So my point is, this Miami Hurricanes team is not that good. They might beat Virginia Tech, but they're still not that good of a team. And this is a Thursday night game. I'm going to be watching this game, at least with one eye. And I'm going to continue, even though I think Miami could win this game, I'm going to pick Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't agree with you that Miami is not good. Just to show that they are good is how that it's only a 6-point difference with Virginia Tech being at home. Virginia Tech is a very good team, and I still think Notre Dame's going to lose to both of these teams this year. I guess we'll see after the Notre Dame game you think about Miami.
But here's my prediction. Miami will lose this game, and then Notre Dame will end up being favored with their game against Miami.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
There's no way Notre Dame's favored against Miami. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech because I think they're a really good team, but I think Miami's also a decent team. They're much better than what you think they are.
Well, write down my prediction about Notre Dame being favored against Miami.
Okay.
All right, the Midshipmen. They did not play last week. Their game was postponed versus East Carolina. They will be playing Memphis, and Navy is still in the top 25. They're number 24. They do have one loss on the season.
They're the remaining top 20. They're the only Wait, is Virginia Tech? I don't think they're ranked anymore.
Not
in the
top
25. Navy's the only top 25 team.
They're a 2-point underdog to Memphis, who they'll be playing at 3:30 this Saturday. And Memphis is also 5-0, 2-0 in conference. Navy is 3-0 in conference. I think I'm going with Memphis.
Memphis is 5-1.
Oh, no, in conference. 2-0 in conference.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm going with Memphis. Obviously, I want Navy to win, but I'm going with Memphis on this one. This is a team that's used to playing Navy, and yeah, I just think Memphis is gonna pull this one off.
I actually think Navy's gonna beat them, so I'm going with Navy on this one.
All right, then next we've got Army. They have had a string of losing streaks. They lost to Buffalo, then Duke, and then last week they did beat Lafayette 62-7, so put up a lot of points against them. And this this Saturday at 9 a.m. Wow. Oh, sorry, I was looking at... That's weird. Sorry. Not 9 a.m. At noon, they play North Texas Mean Green, and they're favored by 20 points in this game. Army is 4-2 on the season. I think they'll continue to... They'll win this game pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going with Army.
And Army is rushing for an average of 366 yards per game.
That does not bode well for the Irish.
All right, Miami. We did talk about Miami will be playing Virginia Tech. Last week, they lost to North Carolina 20-13. And the week before that, they had a really close one against Florida State, a one-point loss to Florida State. And like we already mentioned, I do think that Virginia Tech is going to be victorious in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I was just trying to figure out if you switched that around. Remember what you said, because Virginia Tech would have been next in line on the schedule. So I was trying to remember if you had talked about Miami earlier. But yeah, I think Virginia Tech is still going to come away with the win.
All right, and then USC, they had a really rough four-game stretch there at the beginning of the year, but they've won their last three games versus Arizona State, Colorado, Arizona, and now they have a bye week, and then next week they'll be playing Cal on a Thursday night game, so another one of our opponents on Thursday night. And they seem like maybe they're getting things turned around. I don't know. Remains to be seen. They could get things turned around. They definitely have a few games here where it's going to be pretty manageable. Cal, Oregon, and then they have to face Washington. So they could get string up a few more wins here. All right, that's all that we've got. Or do you have anything else, Randall, about USC?
No. Well, I was just going to... They're going to be playing Cal, and I may mention again next week, but Cal is Demetrius Robertson. I was just looking at his stats. He has 20 receptions for 338 yards and 5 touchdowns on the year.
He has 5 touchdowns?
Yeah, he's averaging 16.9 yards a catch.
Not bad.
So,
all right. Ral, do you want to touch on recruiting a little bit? On Monday, we'll do more of an in-depth podcast on recruiting, where Notre Dame is. And also on Monday, we'll be looking at, in general, Notre Dame, direction they're going, some players that have played well despite the team really looking awful.
Yeah, just quickly after the game, Donovan Jeter, obviously a defensive lineman from Pennsylvania, decided to decommit from Notre Dame or open up his recruitment. And that's a huge issue for Notre Dame. They needed a guy like him. He was actually only committed to Notre Dame for, I think it was 29 days. When he had originally committed, you know, he had visited, and it seemed like it was kind of a surprise, but it was a huge pickup. But he claims that he did it. He sent out a tweet and said that he wants to open his commitment because he wants to take visits to other schools, and he doesn't think it's fair to do that while he's committed to a school. Which, whatever, that sounds really nice to him. But he also made comments to a newspaper in Philadelphia, I believe, that, you know, obviously, he doesn't want to play for a mediocre team. He wants to play. He's a guy that he feels he's good enough to be playing on a team that's competing every year. He's that kind of player. And he is visiting Michigan this next weekend, I believe, who is undefeated. And he says Notre Dame is still top school, but I don't believe it. He's not going to end up at Notre Dame.
Is recruiting, this is a big recruiting week for the coaches with the bye week. Do you think that's... At least it's a good opportunity for Notre Dame to win him back.
Oh, they're not going to stop going after him just because they really need him. And, you know, they already have that connection. They're going to keep pressuring him, you know, trying to get him to come back. And, you know, the thing is, Notre Dame always tells the guys that, hey, don't commit unless you know this what it is. This is where you're going to go, you know, if you want to take other visits. But I don't think they would have told him to decommit to go take other visits.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. You know, it could be for different reasons. I mean, guys have decommitted. You know, that's what the story is. And when they, you know, haven't had good enough grades to get to know, I don't think that's the case here necessarily. But some of that stuff does happen. And he does want to be an early enrollee. And so he's not planning to make an announcement until December. Then he'd enroll in January. So he's not going to make it. He claims he's not going to make a decision until January. And originally he hadn't planned to make one until the end of October. And then he decided to all of a sudden commit to Notre Dame. So, you know, maybe that could change again. But I think his original commitment was just kind of the excitement of it. And once things finally settled down, you know, he realized, well, he wants to take some other visits. He wants to, you know, and honestly, can't blame him. If I was a commit, I would take all my official visits. But it is kind of frustrating when they commit and then decommit. I mean, be sure. That's my biggest thing. Is just you want to be sure where you're going to go, but there's no reason to bash this kid.
Is there, he said he doesn't want to go to a mediocre team. And I know that, and I'm sure we've said it too, but it's always kind of said, you know, a kid won't decommit, or kids won't come to Notre Dame just because they lost this game. But once it's this game, this game, this game, this game, this game, and this game,
then maybe.
Then at some point, it is going to affect it. And that's kind of what he said. He doesn't want to go to a mediocre school. Do you think Notre Dame losing is the primary factor?
It's just hard to tell. I guarantee it plays into it. It has to. If you want to go, I don't care what guys are going to say. You know that if for a job, you know, you're planning to take this job, or, you know, all of a sudden something happens there, you know, that a bunch of people leave or who knows what it is, you're going to have second thoughts. And Notre Dame was not expected to do this. I mean, Notre Dame is at 2-5 and everybody's talking about how it's on coaching and stuff. You know, all the other coaches that are recruiting him are telling him this.
Yeah.
And it's going to make you think. I mean, it just is. So, you know, it seems like the other recruits that are committed, you know, are committed. They've tweeted things out in support of Notre Dame, but, you know, that it's going to cross their mind, you know, do I want to go to a school that's currently 2-5?
And I'm not always optimistic, but things could get turned around at Notre Dame this season. And if Notre Dame would get it turned around, win a couple of games to finish out this season looking good, that will definitely change kind of the perception of where the program is at, the perception that it's at least headed back to winning. And so I do think that things will get turned around. I just don't know if they'll happen sooner or later.
Yeah, well, here's a sign that that kids don't all think the same, because that happened earlier in the day, and then later Elijah Hicks, defensive back from California, decided to commit to Notre Dame. He was at Notre Dame this past weekend as well. And
did he say that he's looking for a mediocre school? That's
he didn't say anything about that I know of. But one of the coaches was actually out to visit him on Monday. Then they actually went out to his school. They probably kind of knew what was going on. But he did commit to Notre Dame. And so even when Notre Dame is 2-5 and the guy was at a game that where they lost, it didn't have an impact on him. And so this makes you feel good. When he commits at that state, it makes you feel good about the commitment, just because obviously it's more than just the state of the football team. He's a 6-foot, 185-pound cornerback. He could play safety. I mean, he's a defensive back. And he does play good competition. He plays all the big high schools out in California. You know, he goes against top receivers, guys that are Division I talent receivers. On 24/7, he's listed as a 3-star. Other sites have him as 4-star. But this is a big pickup for Notre Dame. I mean, a big physical kid. So Notre Dame is still at 18 commitments for 2017. And obviously the coaches are out recruiting this week. And, yeah, so they'll try to convince these guys that things can be turned around at Notre Dame.
Where does Notre Dame stand right now as far as where do they rank in the recruiting class so far?
It did change. I believe they were at number 6 on 24. So I'm not even sure. I haven't checked lately. I don't follow that as far as the recruiting class. Like the overall ranking.
Yeah.
I haven't checked on that lately. Okay. But they were in the top 10 and they still are.
All right. Very good. I think that's it. Anything else from you, Randall?
I don't think so. The only other new, Devin Butler. It looks like he might actually end up at Notre Dame again, maybe next year. But what he's been doing, I think he was in court on Monday. His felony charge, I guess they've been dropped or they've done whatever it takes to get rid of those. And so if he doesn't have a felony, he can come back. He's eligible to come back to Notre Dame. So it'll be up to the school, see how they handle that. I know he had to write an apology letter to the cop that arrested him. He did that, and he pleaded guilty, I think, on Monday. So he still has a misdemeanor for he has to do some program that he can do in the next year. And then when that is done, that'll be dropped as well. And then he could be reinstated. So, and this could, yeah. So he'd have another year of eligibility.
Would that be his fifth year?
I think it'd be his final year of eligibility.
But this would have been his fourth year at Notre Dame. I'm pretty sure. I was gonna look it up and ran out of time. That's fine. But it would be good to have him back.
Just for,
obviously there's a lot of young guys that are playing, but he's a guy that is older, maybe doesn't, well, yeah, next year he won't even have the playing experience as a lot of those guys will, but it still just adds some depth.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, if you start getting into the numbers, the players coming back next year potentially, right now the number I heard was like on offense, in the two deeps, you'd have 21 or 22 coming back, or could come back. And then defense, I think it's 18. But then you add Devin Butler, Nick Watkins. Sean Crawford. You get Alize Jones on offense. So if you want to look at the positives, there are a lot of positives going into next year.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.